But while all this good was going on, would have been 72, you received the news about your father.
In 1972, we were undefeated. 1971, we had lost one game. We were 11-1. We lost to Nebraska in a very close game here. We ended up being number two in the nation. We were very good again in 72. My father was shot and murdered by his black girlfriend, who caught him with another black woman, and in a fit of rage and passion, shot him. That occurred on November the 14th, 1972. Before I became a head coach, my father never knew the success I had in coaching because of his tragic death. I flew home that night, got on a private plane, and I was flown to Crossent. I went out to the homestead where Daddy lived out in the country. I saw the blood where he shot and walked into the house, and the blood on the floor in the kitchen, and I even staggered to the phone, blood on the stove. He tried to make a phone call, and there's a party line back in. I'm sure someone was on the line. Daddy staggered back outside and told the woman that shot him, who was in shock, to take him to the hospital, and they jumped in the car and tried to rush to the hospital, but driving on the old gravel road, speeding, she couldn't make a curve, flipped the car. It hit a telephone transformer and exploded, and the car burned up with them both in it. That's what I went back to. Galen Hall and the team went to play Kansas that weekend without me. They played at Lawrence in 1972, and I missed that game. That was the only game I missed in my career at Oklahoma. Came back and completed the year. We defeated Penn State in the Sugar Bowl. Ended up number two or three again in the country. An outstanding team with 11-1 record. Then Chuck Fairbanks called me in the office and told me that he was going to take a professional job and totally shocked me. I was stunned when he gave me that information.
And you said?
When Chuck told me that he was going to take a job with the New England Patriots, he'd been meeting Billy Sullivan, the owner of the New England Patriots, and he'd been driving to DFW Airport on Sunday mornings, meeting and negotiating a contract with Billy Sullivan. He was keeping us out of the press. He was doing this privately. He didn't want any publicity to affect recruiting in case he turned it down. He told me that he had finally negotiated a contract that he wanted, that he was going to take the job, and he offered me a backfield job, wanted me to come coach the backs for him at New England. In 1972, I said, Chuck, I would love to have the Oklahoma job. He said, I knew you would. If you don't get this job, you can join me at the Patriots. Thank goodness Jack Santee was on the Board of Regents. Jack played football for Bud Wilkinson. He was probably the strength and the backbone of the Regents. None of the Regents had played football. None of them understood the game like Jack. Jack was the leader of the board. Paul Sharp was the president. Paul took a passive role in this. Jack was the leader. Jack knew the importance of keeping the continuity of the staff and keeping what we were accomplishing, because in 71, 72, we had outstanding football teams, we had returning talent, and Jack believed in what we were doing and recognized that these things needed to continue and I should be given the opportunity, and I was given a 9-month contract to prove it. So I said, Jack, please announce it to the papers. It's a 4-year contract to help recruiting. And they were able to do that. So we didn't lie to the papers. We just made sure that they'd made a commitment to me they didn't have to live up to privately. But that was very important to me that they do that for recruiting purposes.
You were a young man. You were 35 years old.
35 years old and named the head coach of one of the great programs in college football. Never dreamed growing up in Crossett, Arkansas, as a young junior high school football player with a map posted on my wall. I think I took out a Collier's Magazine or Saturday Evening Post and pinned on my wall. The top programs in the country were depicted by the size of the mascot, and there was a big Indian in Norman, Oklahoma, and I remember that. And there was a leprechaun at South Bend, Indiana, and there was a big Trojan at Southern California. I remember looking at those mascots and thinking they were the largest on the national map of the United States, and there I was an Oklahoma fan, and they always played afternoon ball games, so I listened on the battery radio. If the static was so bad, I'd go out and listen in the car, open the ball four doors of the car, there's no air conditioning, and sit in the car and listen to Oklahoma play afternoon games and listen to Arkansas play or LSU play at night. So I was an Oklahoma fan, and here I was at 35 years of age, named the head football coach at the University of Oklahoma. You never know where the roads in life take you. Just be prepared when you arrive.